Tonight's message, I don't know if it's strange or not, but I guess I'm strange, so anything I say is pretty strange. At first I was actually going to talk about confession and things like that, but then as I was praying about it, you know, there's something that comes before confession, and that's our thoughts. You know, we don't say things that we don't think. You have to think things before you say them. And sometimes after you say them, you know, sometimes we do think things and don't say them. Sometimes we think things and do say them. Sometimes we wish we wouldn't have said things that we thought. And note to self, you know, in the world that we live in with social media, if you're going, you know, really think about things that you put down there before you put them down. Before you push that send button, you know, think about that, because a lot of times that we think things and we say them before we should. And so if you want to have a title, it's What Are You Thinking? What are you thinking? What are you thinking about? Because what you're thinking is going to affect what you're saying, and what you're saying is going to affect what you're having. And if you are not having what you want to have, then first of all, you need to get your thinking straightened out before you're speaking what will be straightened out. And so a lot of times we think about what we say, you know, but a lot of times in the Christian world, things that we say, confessions that we say, we don't even believe. I mean, I don't know how many people, you know, will say something like, this is the day the Lord has made, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. But I'm telling you, if you follow them all day long, they're not rejoicing and being glad in anything. It might be the day the Lord's made, but they're not rejoicing and being glad. Yeah, but they said it. Well, just because they said it, they didn't act on what they said. And the reason they didn't act like what they said, because they didn't even really believe what they said. A lot of times we say things, but we don't believe because, you know, our speaking is our mouth, but what we believe is really what we think. What we think is what we believe. And a lot of times we'll say things that we don't really believe. You know, a great example of this, and kids do this all the time. My three boys did this growing up. I don't know how many times they would get into a heated argument or maybe a fight, whatever you want to call it. When you have three boys, it kind of happens that way. You know, brothers like to fight each other for whatever reason. I don't know. Something stupid happens and I get in the fight over the dumbest things, like, you know, a video game. I mean, you know, they're getting the fight because somebody cheats in some video game, or they say they cheat or whatever. I don't know. And then you hear one of the kids will yell, I'm going to kill you. Well, you know what? None of my three kids died from each other. Nobody killed anybody. Yeah, but they said it. Yeah, but they didn't act on it. They didn't do it. And really, they didn't mean I'm going to kill you. They meant I'm going to hit you, all right? I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to punch you. Or in Skylar's case, I'm going to throw an Xbox controller at your face. I don't know how many Xbox controllers we broke over the years because they end up, you know, like flying across the room. You know, good thing people could duck or they could block. I don't know. Because Skylar was the youngest one. And so, you know, he just would throw stuff. You know, and I think he got it from my grandfather. I don't know if you ever heard the story about he took a brick after somebody, you know, because he was smaller. So you got to use things to your advantage. So he would throw things. So, but I mean, you know, just because we say things don't mean really, really believe them. You know, and a lot of times we think that we're speaking faith, but we don't really believe it. So because our thinking, I mean, a lot of times we say, well, I'm believing God for this, but you don't think in your own mind it's going to happen, so you're really not believing God for anything. You're just speaking words that don't mean anything. It's just like, I'm going to kill you, but you're not going to kill me anyway. But hey, in the 21st century, don't write I'm going to kill you online because it might really... you know, I mean, people take things seriously now, you know, and, or if you're going through the airport, you know, don't say things like bomb. And I'm going to tell you from experience, don't even try to bring a cap gun on the plane. I tried that at 12 years old. I got through the Tulsa airport, made it fine, no problem. Tulsa security is not very good. Came back from Dallas. They found my cap gun. I mean, it's one of those guns with, you know, it has red at the front so you can tell it's not a real gun. These people are freaking. I'm 12 years old, okay? 12 years old. Dallas airport. Dallas Love Field Airport, actually, flying Southwest Airlines. And, you know, we were spent Christmas with my grandparents. And for whatever reason, you know, my parents told me to pack my carry-on stuff. So I packed my carry-on stuff with my brand new cap gun. These people freaked out about a cap gun. You know, so, you know, don't do that kind of stuff. Anyway, I don't know why that came out, but it did. I didn't speak it. I just brought it. All right. But, you know, sometimes we say things and people take things seriously today. But you know what? Our thoughts should be serious. Now, reading from scriptures tonight, we're going to read a few scriptures about your thought life. Starting with the Old Testament and going to the New. Isaiah 55:8 says this. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Now, the thing about it is whenever we're supposed to renew our mind, we're supposed to think like God thinks, not like man thinks. And God's thoughts are higher. You know, so I know sometimes it's hard to think like God thinks, but you can do it. All right? You know, because man will look at something and we're thinking, well, that's impossible. But you know what? God says there is nothing impossible with me. And see, the thing is, we're not looking from our perspective. And that's something we have to understand, that when we look in the natural, we look from a human's perspective, and a human perspective doesn't look like it's possible or even probable that this is going to happen. But when we look at it from God's perspective, it's not that big a deal. All right, a human perspective, maybe if you have a $5,000 bill, I mean, you know, a bill that you owe, not a bill like, you know, because there'll be, you know, I'm talking about, you know, you owe $5,000, you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to pay that. From God's perspective, that's pretty easy. I mean, that's no problem, you know. I mean, you know, creating the heavens and the earth might have been a little bit tougher than $5,000. You know, but our own mind thinks, well, how am I going to do it? But it's not about how are you going to do it. It's about, can you believe God? All right, can you trust God? And so many times we get so worried, like, I don't know if God can really do this. I mean, we're not saying that, but that's how we act. You know, because, you know, somebody might get a bad diagnosis at a doctor's office. And maybe they say the C word, you know, like cancer. And people start freaking out, like, well, how am I going to get through this? Well, I mean, I can give you a testimony. I mean, you know, many of you, you know, might have known Shirley Edford. She was here for a while. And back in 1979, Shirley Edford was given a week to live. All right. She's still alive. I'm in her 90s now. You know, I don't know about you, but it's been more than a week. All right. Now, why? Because when she was given a week to live, she thought differently. Because you know what? If she thought she was going to die, she would have died. You know, the thing about it is, how do you think when you're faced with a possible thought that is not good? You know, you need to think, you know, you need to watch your thought life. Because I'm here to tell you that the devil, El Diablo, you know, the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he'll try to put all kinds of thoughts in your head, like, you're not going to make it. There's no way. You know, but here's the thing. You know, you have to look at things from God's perspective, not from man's perspective. Man's perspective is like, there is no way. But you know what? God's perspective is, I'll make a way. See, there was no way that the children of Israel were going to walk across the Red Sea. There was no way. It wasn't going to happen. But it did. Why did it? Because God did it. All right? And if God can do it for them, I'm here to tell you that God loves me as much as he loves the children of Israel. Yeah. All right? You know, I'm his child too. He's, you know, as a father or a grandfather, we're not supposed to play favorites. You know, all our kids are our favorite. We don't have favorites. And so that's how God is. I'm God's favorite too. But guess what? So are you. So if you're God's favorite, God's going to do it for me. So my thought life will be like, you know what? If God can do it for them, he can do it for me. You know, but what we think about natural things like, I don't see a way. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter what you see. You know, we said that it's not determined about what you see. It's determined about what God says. Now, you know, I thank God for my grandfather and what he taught us. And, you know, we have it back there on a t-shirt. The Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. You know, in modern day language, drop the mic. It's over. All right, the Bible says it. And so, you know, I don't know how many times that he's told, you know, me, even, you know, through preaching or even personally in my office, like, what does the Bible say about that? What does the Bible say? And if you can find scripture for it, then you should believe it. But so many times we believe it when we read it, but we don't believe it, you know, the rest of the time. I mean, we might for a while, but all of a sudden the devil will try to like give us a thought. And sometimes that thought actually starts a confession, a negative confession, because we can have what we say, whether it's positive or negative. You know, if I don't want to ever have enough money, I'll never have enough money because I'm going to have whatever I say I'm going to have. And too many times we are speaking negative confessions instead of positive confessions. Over here in Isaiah chapter 26, so a few pages back, Isaiah, the 26th chapter, the third verse says this: you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. So, you know, our mind has to be stayed on him. Well, what does God think? Not, you know, the whole point of time, it shouldn't be what you think. What does God think about it? Because what you think about it really doesn't matter. Because my faith is in God. Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. So what does he think? Does he think it's a big deal? If God doesn't think it's a big deal, then I shouldn't think it's a big deal. Yeah, but Craig, that's really hard. I don't see how. Well, I can tell you a lot of things that happen, you know, in the Bible that I don't see how it happened. I don't understand. Well, you know, it's not for me to understand. In fact, that actually is my next verse that I want to read because I'm still in the Old Testament, is Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Now, what does that mean? That means you don't have to understand. In fact, I told somebody, someone told me the other day, said, Craig, I don't understand faith and how it works. I said, then you understand. You got it. Yeah, but I just said, I don't understand. I said, yes, so that means you have it. Well, no, I said, I don't understand. Well, the Bible says you do not have to understand. It says you shouldn't understand and you shouldn't lean on your understanding because your understanding doesn't matter. What matters is, are you trusting in the Lord with all your heart? Your understanding, you know, that, you know, understand that, you know, we are educated human beings. Well, most of us are, you know, or we think we are, or at least try to be. And because we're educated, our mind has to understand how everything works. You know, it's our inquiring mind. We want to know how it works. You know, and when we don't understand how it works, we get confused and we're like, well, I don't get it. But here with faith, you don't have to get it. You just believe. The Bible says to only believe. It doesn't say to understand. Yeah, but I don't understand. Well, you know, Mark 11 talks about moving a mountain. I don't understand how you're going to move a mountain either. All right, but I'm not to lean to my own understanding. It says for me to trust in the Lord with all my heart. That means give him 100%. You know, said, Lord, you're in control. I'm just going to sit back and watch you do it because I don't understand. you know. Now, I wish it was that easy when we were going to school. You know, if you don't understand a math problem, just like, I don't understand, and you get an A plus. But instead, you know, your math teacher made you show your work. You had to work it out yourself. And if you didn't work it out correctly, it was wrong. But see, when it comes to God's problems, you don't have to work it out yourself. You let him work it out. You lean not your own understanding. You don't have to understand how anything works here. The Bible says only believe. All things are possible to them that believes. So your responsibility is to believe, not lean to your own understanding. But it goes on to say, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Well, what do you mean? He's going to show you what to do even when you don't understand. Sometimes you start doing things, you don't understand why you're doing them. All right? Well, I'll give you an example. Jesus feeding the 5,000. Remember that story? Now, that was actually 5,000 men plus women and children. Now, what Jesus told the disciples was go out there among the people and find out what we got to work with. And we found them, you know, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Just because somebody's mama packed their lunch. Now, here's something really crazy. 5,000 people show up to a meeting and only one person brought food. I mean, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to, you know, decide to drive, like I'm going to go to Dallas or Kansas City or wherever, or take a road trip somewhere, you know, that maybe even a further drive, I normally grab at least some candy or something like that. You know, on the way, I stop and get something. Now it's not healthy here, so, you know, don't bother my diet here, okay? So, you know, sometimes people, well, Craig, you weren't eating healthy and blah, blah, blah. I mean, but I usually like try to, so if I'm going to go spend the day hanging out in wherever they're hanging out, because obviously there was no convenience stores around where they were hanging out or anything. There was no restaurants. There was no McDonald's. There was no Walmart. There was nothing. You know, you're like, well, those things didn't exist. That's why I'm glad I live in the 21st century. I've heard people say all the time, man, I really wish I lived when Jesus was alive. Well, I don't. Or I really wish I lived when the Apostle Paul was around. Well, I don't. I actually like air conditioning in my house. I like having heat. You know, I mean, you know, I like driving an automobile. I like not having to walk, you know, 5 miles to work every day or whatever. You know, I realize some of you older folks, I mean, you walked 5 miles uphill both ways to school every morning, but, you know, in the snow, barefoot, you know, but, you know, okay, maybe you didn't, you just, you know. But, you know, I actually, I'm glad I'm alive. I believe that I'm alive for such a time as this. This is the greatest time in human history to be alive. I believe that we're in for the greatest revival we've ever seen before. You know, and I believe when the whole thing is being told, you know, we're in for the greatest times. Now, are the times that we live in kind of crazy? Yeah, that means, you know, the Bible says when things get crazy, look up. All right, things are getting crazy. I mean, we have all kinds of crazy things taking place, and when you thought you've seen it all, something else crazy happens. You know, that's just the society we live in. Crazy people doing crazy things. All right. Let's go to the New Testament. In the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, and most of you know, in most of the scriptures we read, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It says that we transform by the renewing of our mind. What does that mean? That means when we start looking at things in our natural mind, that we need to renew our mind and look at things like God sees things. Now, we sometimes too, you know, in life, sometimes people do things that really kind of makes us mad, or some people might say ticks us off or whatever. And sometimes we'll say, well, I'm going to give that person a piece of my mind. And anyone said that before? Yeah, well, you need to not give them a piece of your mind. You need to renew your mind and give them a piece of Jesus's mind, the mind of Christ. Because when you do that, that's going to be all love. You're like, yeah, but I don't want to think like that. Well, you need to change your thinking. You need to get rid of your stinking thinking and think like he thinks. He said, well, yeah, but they're mean to me. Well, you know what? People are mean to Jesus too. I mean, they did put him on a cross. I mean, they did, put stripes on his back. I mean, they were pretty mean. They to him. And all through his ministry, the Pharisees and Sadducees and other people you see, and all the UC's people and all the religious people, I mean, they kept on trying to tear into Jesus all the time. You know, I'm here to tell you, people are going to be mean to you. Just part of life. People are mean, the more we go, the more they're mean. But you know what? Instead of giving them a piece of your mind, we need to give them peace of the mind of Christ. If you have Jesus' mind, it's not even your mind to give. And your thoughts, like I said, once again, are not his thoughts. So if you're thinking something that you know is contrary to God's word, first of all, don't say it. All right? But second of all, change your thinking. You know, Paul talked about renewing his mind day by day. Well, Paul had to renew his mind day by day. You need to do it 18 times a day, or at least 70 times 7, or something like that. We all get to a point where sometimes we think things we shouldn't think. All right? We've all done it. If I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, you should raise your hand, but most of you aren't, because you're not going to raise your hand for anything anyway, so I'm not going to ask you to raise. But we've all done it. We've all thought things that we shouldn't think. Sometimes we've even said things that we shouldn't say because we thought them first. See, here's the thing. I want us to try to not get to the point where we think it and then we say it. I want us to think it and then immediately say, that's not God. I'm going to change my thought life. I don't know how many times that, I heard my grandfather, he would think things, but he would never say them. It's just like, too, he would talk about that symptoms would try to come upon him. He'll never say he was sick. He would say, symptoms are trying to come upon me. He never said he was sick. He's not going to accept them. But what we do, we say, we're sick. Now, he's the one who said that he never had a headache, but he passed up many marvelous opportunities to have a headache. And when I asked him what a marvelous opportunity to have a headache, said, well, my head started hurting. Now, see, when our head starts hurting, what do we say? I have a headache. He never would say that. He would say, the devil is trying to put a headache on me, but I'm not going to accept it. See, there's power in the words that you say. A lot of times we accept things just because we accept them. That was the thing. If he went to the doctor says he has something, he would never say he had it. He would say that I have these symptoms trying to come upon me, but I'm not keeping those symptoms. Where a lot of times what we do, if the doctor says we have something, and I said, there's a fine line between telling somebody something the doctor says because you want them to pray with you or pray for you or agree with you, and actually just going around telling everybody, it's almost like, and I'm using the word cancer or whatever. It's almost like people like, I have cancer, and we're carrying around a briefcase. See, I have cancer. I have cancer. They'll tell everyone they have cancer. But you know what? If you don't want to keep it, don't have it. Now, if you want to say the cancer symptoms are trying to come upon my life, but I'm not going to let them. The Bible says to resist the devil, he's going to flee from us. But we can't resist him. See, what happens is, first of all, the thoughts come. And then secondly, then we have words and actions that come later. And we got to get to the point where we don't have the words and actions come out. We have thoughts, but we cast down those thoughts. Or the Bible says casting down imaginations. Those are not good thoughts. All right. In fact, one of my scriptures, we talk about our thoughts, but actually right here, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 2 says this: set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, see, what happens is our mind is always thinking about, you know, earthly things, like, you know, we have gravitational pull. I mean, you know, gravity works and things like that. But Jesus walked on the water. Now, that's impossible, right? You know, of course it is. You know, there's many things that Jesus did that was impossible, but the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. And you know what? Just because something looks impossible to us doesn't mean it is. You're like, well, but I don't see how. But we're not looking to your own, you know, thought life. It's not about what you see. It's about what God can do. Now, talking about what to think on, because I've got to hurry here. Philippians 4:6 in the New Living Translation. I like New Living because it's a little better here. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Now, it's interesting. It says that we'll experience God's peace once we tell him what we need. And then it goes on to say, his peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So see, what we need to get, the peace of God in our minds. It should be guarding our minds. But one thing he goes on to say, and right here, he says this, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and everything you received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Now, see, Paul here told us what we should be thinking about. So many times we don't think on those things. We don't think about all those things. We think about other things. And so if we think about the things that Paul tells us to, then we don't freak out. Then we don't have an issue. But so many times we're not. In fact, a lot of times, you know, when it comes down to we have an opportunity to talk about somebody or gossip about somebody or whatever, sometimes we think negative thoughts right about, you know, immediately. In fact, a lot of times we think negative thoughts and when people are not trying to be negative to us, you know. I mean, just because someone didn't say hi when you're walking down the hallway, your mind thinks, well, they must be mad at me. Maybe they were looking at their phone like I am half the time and they're not paying attention. Or maybe they're not looking at their phone. They're just in la-la land like I've been before. You know, because I'm thinking, there's been times before, in fact, I had to stop this. Because it happened to me too many times, especially, you know, during school, you know, I'm walking between classes or sometimes I'm just going to someone else's office and I happen to pass a bunch of students. Well, you know, like as soon as I finish class, a lot of times my mind, you know, when I'm walking to class, I'm thinking more about what I'm going to teach, you know, class. But after class, when I'm walking, I'm thinking about what I have to do today, things I have to do. And so I had to actually physically quit thinking about those kind of things because I don't know how many times that students thought I was rude to them because I didn't say hi because I walked right by them and I saw them, but I didn't see them. Understand? Because my brain was thinking, okay, I finished my class. Now I got to do this. I'm going through Craig's to-do list. Because a lot of my to-do list is mental in my head. I've actually got better now at using a digital calendar now on my phone that I have. But a lot of things was mentally, I'm trying to think about things I have to do, and I don't see somebody, you know. But I walked right by him. I looked at him, and I didn't see him, or I didn't say hi, so they thought I was mad at him. I wasn't mad at him, but see, their thought they think I was, and because they think they would, I mean, I've even had people, you know, send me. Hey, are you mad at me? Did I do something? I mean, you know, and in fact, I even had people say hi, and it's like, I'm down the almost the other side of the hall, and I turn around like, hey, I mean, because my brain finally processed that they just said hi to me like 2 seconds ago, and I heard them with my ears, but my brain wasn't thinking. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, hey, they just said hi to me. I didn't say hi to them. Oh man, that. You know, so I actually mentally had to actually think about that, especially when I'm in public, you know, whatever. I need to pay attention. You know, plus you don't want to run into people anyway. I mean, like hit them because you're, you know, your brain's not thinking or looking. But you know, our mind is a powerful thing. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I can think like 18 things at the same time. I don't know if I'm, I just, I mean, I'm always thinking at every point in time, I'm just that kind of person. When my mind's on, it's on. But I tell you what, when it turns off, I go to sleep. And I don't like being woken up in the middle. I mean, you know, my wife will wake me up. I'm like, I'm trying to sleep. You know, like I was in a deep sleep. And I can even prove it because I have an app on my watch and it tells me when I'm in a deep sleep. And you just woke me up out of a deep sleep. And now I got to go back to bed. You know, that's the thing about, that's something else too. So many of us, we worry. We can't go to sleep at nighttime. We're worried about stuff. And, so what you should do is cast your cares upon the Lord and then go back to bed and sleep good. Amen. I got to finish. Well, I got two more scriptures, I think. And so I want to make sure that we finish those because it's time to go. Actually, I only have one more scripture. And this is important. This is a good thinking scripture, all right? Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So, see, you have to think it before you can ask it. All right? What are you thinking about? What are you thinking on? Because the things that you are thinking on are going to affect what you say every time. All right? There's one more scripture that I forgot about. I skipped over it. And I do need to read this. James chapter 1, verse number 6, because I skipped over it. It says this, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. See, here's the thing. A lot of times when we speak faith and we're thinking faith, you know, that's great. But while we're on our faith journey at some point in time, we become a double-minded man. We like start to doubt. At one time you were in faith, but now you're in doubt. I call it the seesaw faith. You know, seesaw goes up and down. That's how many of us Christians are. Now the Bible is clear. If that's how you are, the Bible here says that let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord, because you're not in faith. I mean, you're in faith one time, and the next time you're not in faith. Next time. Because, you know, and I've said it many times, the definition of faith, according to Webster's New World Dictionary or yourdictionary.com, is an unquestioning belief without any proof or evidence. So unquestioning means you never question it. You never ask, when's it going to happen? How is this going to happen? You don't, and that's a dictionary definition. So if you're double-minded, see, what happens is you're thinking, see, you were thinking right. And then because something happened, whether it be, you know, the devil tried to put things in your mind, whether it be sometimes people meaning well, you know, will try to tell you facts. See, there's facts and there's faith. All right? Sometimes facts and faith are not the same. And sometimes some people meaning well, like, well, I don't see how you're going to do that. My response is, I'm not. What do you mean you're not? Well, you know, you got this bill out. Yeah, but I'm not going to do it. Well, who's going to do that then? My God. The Bible says that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So if he's supplying, what do I need to do? Well, I just need to be believing. I need to be thinking. And every time I have a negative thought, I cast those negative thoughts down and say, oh, Mr. Devil, you have no right. You have no authority. You can't affect my thought life. You know what? Because I'm here to tell you, you are going to have an opportunity to have a negative thought and a negative confession every day. Every day. And the devil is one thing he is, he's persistent. And every time that, you know, I mean, all throughout the day, you'll have opportunities to think negatively. All right? But what are you going to do with your thought life? Are you going to let that thought produce something you say and then something you do? You know, our thoughts are very important. And we need to make sure that we think on him. And, you know, but the Bible says that he wants to do more than we can ask or think. Man, you know, we serve the God that's more than enough. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask or think. It's so awesome, but we have to get our thinking straightened out. And I'm here to tell you what I want you to do. This is your homework. The next time that you're going through life and you have this negative thought, I want something on the inside, go, and you say, no, I'm casting that down. I want you to recognize it before you speak, or before you type something online, or before you send that text message. I don't know how many times I have erased text messages, you know, and sometimes too, it's just not worth the fight. Just because you're thinking, you know, like they said that they were real rude, I'm going to be rude back or whatever. Why? I mean, what's it going to do? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here. And Father God, we just thank you right now that the next time that we start having negative thoughts, that we won't think, that we will cast those imaginations down, that we won't speak those negative thoughts, but we'll get rid of them. We thank you, Father, that you'll help us always to look from God's perspective and not from man's perspective every single time. And we thank you, Father, that you're helping us every single day, that you're blessing us, that you're taking care of our needs, that you're touching our bodies. And we thank you, Father, for everything you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. First of all, if you're here for the first time, we're glad to have you. The connection team is in the aisle. They want to take you back to the north lobby. We have a special gift for you, and we want to say thank you for coming to Rainbow Bible Church. Also, if you're here and you need prayer for anything, whether it be salvation, infilling of the Holy Spirit, healing, whatever it might be, we have some women over here, some gentlemen over there. If you're a gentleman, go see the gentleman. If you're a lady, go see the ladies, and they will help you and pray with you. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Turn around, shake hands with two or three people, and we'll see you back here on Sunday morning. Have a great day.